O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. Make haste, O God, to deliver me. Make haste to help me, O Lord. Praise to you, O Christ, Lamb of our salvation.
The Passion of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to St. John, the 19th chapter. Then Pilate took Jesus and flogged him. And the soldiers twisted together a crown of thorns and put it on his head and arrayed him in a purple robe. They came up to him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews," and struck him with their hands. Pilate went out again and said to them, "See, I am bringing him out to you, that you may know that I find no guilt in him." So Jesus came out, wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. Pilate said to them, "Behold the man." When the chief priests and the officers saw him, they cried out, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Pilate said to them, "Take him yourselves and crucify him, for I find no guilt in him." The Jews answered him, "We have a law, and according to that law he ought to die, because he has made himself the Son of God." When Pilate heard this statement, he was even more afraid. He entered his headquarters again and said to Jesus, "Where are you from?" But Jesus gave him no answer. So Pilate said to him, "You will not speak to me? Do you not know that I have authority to release you and authority to crucify you?" Jesus answered him, "You would have no authority over me at all unless it had been given you from above. Therefore, he who delivered me over to you has the greater sin." From then on, Pilate sought to release him. But the Jews cried out, "If you release this man, you are not Caesar's friend. Everyone who makes himself a king opposes Caesar." So when Pilate heard these words, he brought Jesus out and sat down on the judgment seat at a place called the Stone Pavement, and in Aramaic, Gabbatha. Now it was the day of preparation of the Passover. It was about the sixth hour. He said to the Jews, "Behold your king." They cried out, "Away with him! Away with him! Crucify him!" Pilate said to them, "Shall I crucify your king?" The chief priests answered, "We have no king but Caesar." So he delivered him over to them to be crucified. We stand. So they took Jesus, and he went out, bearing his own cross, to the place called the Place of a Skull, which in Aramaic is called Golgotha. There they crucified him, and with him two others, one on either side, and Jesus between them. Pilate also wrote an inscription and put it on the cross. It read, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." Many of the Jews read this inscription, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and it was written in Aramaic, in Latin, and in Greek. So the chief priests of the Jews said to Pilate, "Do not write 'the King of the Jews,' but rather 'this man said, I am the King of the Jews.'" Pilate answered, "What I have written, I have written." When the soldiers had crucified Jesus, they took his garments and divided them into four parts, one part for each soldier, also his tunic. But the tunic was seamless, woven in one piece from top to bottom. So they said to one another, "Let us not tear it, but cast lots for it, to see whose it shall be." This was to fulfill the scripture, which says, "They divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots." So the soldiers did these things. But standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her to his own home. After this, Jesus, knowing that all was now finished, said to fulfill the scripture, "I thirst." A jar full of sour wine stood there. So they put a sponge full of the sour wine on a hyssop branch and held it to his mouth. When Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Since it was the day of preparation, and so that the bodies would not remain on the cross on the Sabbath, for that Sabbath was a high day, the Jews asked Pilate that their legs might be broken, that they might be taken away. So the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first and of the other who had been crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. But one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and at once there came out blood and water. He who saw it has borne witness. His testimony is true, and he knows that he is telling the truth, that you also may believe. For these things took place that the scripture might be fulfilled. Not one of his bones will be broken. And again, another scripture says, "They will look on him whom they have pierced." After these things, Joseph of Arimathea, who was a disciple of Jesus, but secretly, for fear of the Jews, asked Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. Pilate gave him permission. So he came and took away his body. Nicodemus also, who earlier had come to Jesus by night, came bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 75 pounds in weight. So they took the body of Jesus and bound it in linen cloths with the spices, as is the burial custom of the Jews. Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new tomb, in which no one had yet been laid. So because of the Jewish day of preparation, since the tomb was close at hand, they laid Jesus there. O Lord, have mercy upon us.
We have an advocate with the Father. Jesus is the propitiation for our sins. He was delivered up to death. He was delivered for the sins of the people. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, and whose sin is put away. He was delivered up to death. He was delivered for the sins of the people. We have an advocate with the Father. Jesus is the propitiation for our sins. He was delivered up to death. He was delivered for the sins of the people.
Thank you.
Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father, and from the only Savior from sin and death, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Pilate had made up his mind. He was finally convinced by the Jews that Jesus should be crucified. Pilate feared a rebellion, an uprising for the Jews that would not make him look good. It was better for one man to die, he had reason, as had others, than for there to be chaos and disorder. The Jews had even welcomed the blood of Jesus to fall on them, allowing Pilate to wash his hands of the entire affair. After serious flogging, leaving Jesus just enough alive to get to the cross, Pilate had Jesus crucified. It was around 9 a.m. when Jesus was pinned to the cross and raised up from the earth, the act that would draw all people to himself, as Jesus had said to Nicodemus. Even as the nails were going into his hands and his feet, Jesus was moved by compassion. "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." The crucifixion watchers hurled ridicule at Jesus. The soldiers divided his clothing among them. Both the criminals crucified with Jesus insulted him. But finally, one of them had a change of heart. Faith had been created in that criminal's heart to the extent that he asked Jesus simply to remember him when he came into his kingdom. Jesus there upon the cross promised that that man's faith in him was enough for the forgiveness of all his sin, for his faith was in the only right object of salvation. "Truly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." After this, Jesus made sure to secure his own mother's future by entrusting her to his beloved disciple, John. John was to view her as his own mother, and from that day on, he took her into his own home. And then, according to Matthew, Mark, and Luke, a strange phenomenon took place around noon. Darkness covered the whole land. Now, this darkness went beyond Jerusalem and Israel. Reports of the strange darkness have been historically rumored in Egypt and up near modern-day Turkey. Some used a solar eclipse as a natural explanation. However, the very time of the crucifixion, so near to the regular celebration of the Jewish Passover, which hinged upon the time of the full moon, meant that a solar eclipse was not possible at that time. Plus, the moments of darkness that come with a solar eclipse last around 7 minutes. The darkness that covered the land while Jesus was on the cross lasted for 3 hours. Luke wrote that the sun's light had failed. And we as Christians, we have no trouble with this, as we believe what the Bible says about the 9th plague that was upon the land of Egypt, complete darkness for 3 days. And we believe that the sun literally stood still in the sky while Joshua and the Israelites won their battle. The one true God can and does perform miracles. This is true. And with that being accepted, what was then the purpose of the sun going dark at that time? Christians have most often associated this darkness with God's judgment upon the world. The Creator of the universe was dying upon the cross. the beloved Son of God, the very light of all the world, had been rejected by mankind. Snuff out the author of life and light, and God darkens the sun himself. There was no report of any cloud in the sky. No storm had suddenly rolled in. It was simply dark, and frighteningly so. The crowds had followed Jesus to the cross around 9 a.m. that morning. There was likely no thought whatsoever of being there at any time of darkness. With the sun's light itself failing, fear and trepidation ensued in the very dark of day. Not only was this God's judgment upon mankind, but on the one representative of all mankind. Jesus was there upon the cross, bearing the weight of all sin and death. He who knew no sin had become sin. Such is the judgment wrought by all our sin. Light is stripped away, and the world is left in darkness and in fear. After 3 hours with no light, Jesus cried out the very opening words of Psalm 22, my God, why have you forsaken me?" No answer. And no exaggeration. The Father had forsaken the Son, for the Son was the sin of all mankind. And God cannot tolerate sin. Sin must be paid for. Justice must be served. And the suffering and the death of the eternal Son of God was the only price. The only payment that could last forever, to cover over all sin without end. After 6 hours upon the cross, nearing the very point of death, the Lord Jesus fulfilled Scripture yet again by crying out, "I thirst." Sour wine was thrust up to him by a sponge upon a hyssop branch. And with blood-encrusted lips, freshly stung by the cheap beverage, Jesus said, "It is finished." Tetelestai, completion, fulfillment. There was nothing left to do for our forgiveness and our salvation. No one can add more than what Jesus already did. Knowing that all was complete, and even though the Father had forsaken him, Jesus called out with a loud voice, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." With that, he bowed his head, gave up his spirit, breathed his last. The darkness remained, but now it was silent. No more words from Jesus. But suddenly the earth began to shake all around. Rocks from the surrounding hillsides began to split in two. Now this truly was not normal. And the centurion in charge of the crucifixion blurted out with awe, and he said, "Truly this was the Son of God." Reports would later be heard that the thick curtain in the Jerusalem temple that separated the people from the most holy place, which represented the very location of God's presence, had been torn clean in two from top to bottom, not but a few moments after the time of Jesus' death. The soldiers then came to the cross to speed up the deaths of the crucified by breaking their legs. But seeing that Jesus was already dead, a soldier thrust a spear through Jesus' side, and out flowed blood and water. A secret disciple of Jesus, Joseph of Arimathea, a member of the Sanhedrin, secured the body of Jesus and took him away to his own newly purchased tomb. Mary Magdalene and another Mary watched the entire scene. With the sun beginning to set, the Passover Sabbath day upon them, final treatment of Jesus' dead body would have to wait. They would make their way back on Sunday morning. Another disciple, Nicodemus, had purchased much ointment already, and he and Joseph had wrapped Jesus in a clean linen shroud. A great stone was rolled into place in front of the tomb's entrance. Jewish leaders feared a faked resurrection by the disciples of Jesus, so they got Pilate to give them a charge of soldiers to secure the tomb until after the third day. And even an official seal was placed around the stone to secure and ensure that there was no tampering. Darkness once again covered over the earth, this time due to nightfall. The sun had set on the scene of Golgotha, the place where the God-man Jesus Christ had suffered and had died. But in that great scene of Jesus Christ and of him crucified, the forgiveness of all sins has been won. The light of Christ has overcome the darkness of sin and of death. And forever in that sacred light, you will live. Amen. We stand for prayer. Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Almighty God, graciously behold this your family, for whom our Lord Jesus Christ was willing to be betrayed and delivered into the hands of sinful men to suffer death upon the cross. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, you willed that your Son should bear for us the pain of the cross, and so remove from us the power of the adversary. Help us so to remember and give thanks for our Lord's passion, that we may receive forgiveness of sin and redemption from everlasting death. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord.